Coming up on TMS, get your wood off my lawn.
Your trailer is magnificent.
French man goes off the deep end.
Cusack, cursed unit.
Close.
Cusack.
VR pern in your face.
Jared Leto is picky.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If it weren't for that little thingamajig.
You mean the bat x-ray deflector in my utility belt?
Is that a frog in a bubble?
The Morning Stream.
I'm getting too old for this show.
This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for the 19th of April, 2016. I'm Scott. Oh, no, it's the 20th.
Yeah.
Whoa, I screwed that up. I got all my dates wrong. 20th.
Yeah, 420, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's 420, man. Oh, I had that thing ready. Okay, here we go. It's 420, man.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah. I'll have that at the ready if we need it.
Sounds good. Or as we call it in Colorado, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Or that's more like eat brownie every day, right? It's more,
it's more like breathe air every day.
Second hand at the mall every day. That's right. Is it true that it's mostly edibles, though? Like, what do you see on the streets? Like, what's your perception?
You don't really see a lot of it on the streets. I mean, you smell it, but it's a rare thing to actually see somebody actually smoking pot outside. Now, it won't be today, especially if you go to City Park, or not City Park, the park in front of the Capitol building, because that's where they have their 420 festival every year, regardless. Like, prior to it being legal, they'd have it out there every 420.
Oh, so when it was illegal, were they out there token it up on the lawn there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there were so many of them that, you know, it's not like they could arrest everybody there. There would just be like, you know, the cops would show up and they just scatter.
Ah, but, see, it's an example of when the ants realize that the grasshoppers are less than they are. Right. Everything I learned from Bug's Life, man.
Exactly. But yeah, you still see, I mean, it's, you know, as far as what they're selling at the dispensaries, it's probably 50-50 edibles and actual leaves.
Now, if I go pot, to get, yeah. So you can buy it in, oh, I didn't know that. You can buy it in like leaf form and roll your own doobies.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not really in leaf form, but I mean, you, opposed to edibles, it's the regular grass you're familiar with. It's the regular pot you've seen everywhere.
Is it still the, is it good etiquette to, is it good etiquette to pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side? Or do
yes,
you,
okay. You do not want to Bogart the joint.
Okay. All right. And people bring their own papers, and they can probably buy papers at the dispensary.
Of course,
right?
You can buy papers. You can buy papers anywhere. I mean, you know.
You ever seen paper? Yeah.
Paper.
You ever seen
paper? I mean,
paper?
That stuff, you know, that they have for regular tobacco. So.
Oh,
you
right.
You get that at the old loafing jug.
That's a good. That's right. Okay. One last question then.
Yeah.
Can I.
And you're asking, by the way, I'm going to let you know, you're asking somebody who does not partake nor has been inside a dispensary, although I'd really like to go check out a dispensary.
You should go at least look at it. Do it for science, yeah. Like the other thing you did today for science, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Okay.
But can I go and buy pre-rolled joints, like just done cigarette?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
You can.
All right. That's interesting.
They'll even give you, at some places, if you buy, it's like fireworks. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like the fireworks. Stands from what I hear, that you can buy like a bunch of stuff, and they throw in, all right, we'll throw in a free 4-pack of gummy bears or something like that. Like it's, you know, like you buy all your Roman candles and stuff, and they say, all right, we'll throw in a pack of bottle rockets.
So are the, wait a minute, are you telling me some of the edibles are gummy bears?
Yes.
Holy shite!
Oh, the edibles look like, I mean, the edibles look like candy. They look like Kit Kats and gummy worms and gummy bears and
I want pot gummy bears. I want them. If it was legal, that's the first thing I'd try.
Is really the gummy bears?
Yeah, you know, we're always saying, hey, if it was legal here, would Scott try it? And right. I've said on the show, controversially, by the way, a lot of people freaked out about this. I said, yeah, of course I would. If it was legal, I'd try an edible. Like, duh.
Sure.
Like, the reason you don't try them is because they're not legal. I'm a law-abiding citizen who believes very strongly in that. And I'm also somebody who has a brain and can suss out things like, oh, I don't know, decade upon decade of villainization of certain things and not of other things. So, you know, Alcohol doesn't surprise anyone. Pot freaks them out. Why? Because they're not thinking straight. Anyway, my point is this. If they had it here and it was legal.
Right. You would go for the gummy bears.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Knowing how you are with regular gummy bears, I fear for the day that it's ever legalized in Utah.
Dude, it'd be like, oh, my colon's all bloated.
I ate a whole bag of burnt gummy bears.
Oh, the guy on Twitter lied, but I'm feeling really good right now. Anyway, celebrate in only the way you people at home know how.
Smoke weed every day.
All right. And let us know how that goes. All right. I got a complaint, and then right. I got some excitement, and then we have a final push for something important.
I have a plug. Sure.
Here's the anger.
Tell me the complaint. Let's start with the complaint. What's griping you now, old man Johnson?
Here's what's scrubbing me the wrong direction. Okay. There is a load of wood on my grass. And it's sitting on the edge of my lawn because construction dudes from the construction site next door, that one guy listening can be as mad as he wants to be, they plopped down a bunch of lumber there. They're cranking away on this thing. They're getting lots of work done. It's all looking real good, except for whatever reason, they decided to cross-lay a bunch of big, huge planks of wood that I can't move. That was only movable by like some sort of tractor unit driver. And they
forklift operator.
There you go.
Javier.
There you go.
Hey, we gave him a name. Our write-in emailer yesterday.
Yeah.
Mildly racist emailer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one that coined it.
That's right. He's the one who gave Javier a name.
Right. So. Forklift driver Javier plopped this wood down on the side of my lawn and covered up the grass.
Right.
And it's been sitting there for like 5 days, which probably means the grass is already close to dead.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they move that stuff, I don't know where it goes or what it's going to get used for. And it's not like they don't have room. There's definitely room for them not to have it on my grass on the edge of the house over there. They could have moved it over a good 4 or 5 feet. And not hit it, but they just didn't care or whatever and plopped it down in my yard. Now, here's the thing. I told you about the guy that came door to door and said, here's my card. If you have any problems, let me know. Because he's one of the uppity manager types.
Sure.
Right? So there have been a couple other things, nothing too big. You know, once in a while, somebody's Taco Bell wrapper ends up in my bushes or something. It's not that big a deal. I can live with stuff like that.
As long as it's not 6 Taco Bell wrappers.
No, as long as it's not that, then I would be the suspect. But but anyway, because it's this, I feel like I should say something because I don't want to plant sod where I didn't need, like it's a huge pain in the butt. So I said to I said to Kim this morning, I said, well, should I call the guy? There's his number on the fridge. Should I just call that guy and say, hey, you know how you said, let me know if there's any problems.
Right.
And she goes, and she's pretty smart. She goes, all right, well, if you do that, that means you're going to get them in trouble, which means in theory, they could really start screwing with us.
Exactly. Right. It's like the spit in your food.
Yes. It's like sending your steak back because it's not well done enough at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then it comes back with, you know, a little more DNA than you expected, you know? So I'm concerned about that method now because she brought that up and she's right. The other thing is to go outside and go, forklift Javier, come here for a second. This wood here is a problem. Can you blah, blah, blah. And perhaps face the wrath or the
consequences of your actions.
Yeah,
right?
Or he could be just completely dispassionate about it, not care, and just give me the give me the old the middle bird. You know,
right. I mean, if you're really nice about it and say, hey, when you guys get a chance, could you, you know, do you move this wood?
Yeah. And what if they just go and walk away?
I don't think they'll do that.
I don't know. I'm making it all worse than
it
is.
Can you stack it in the porta potty?
Yeah. Put it in there.
Right. Block I bet they move it then.
Yeah. I'll bet you move it real quick. All right. Anyway, I don't know what to do. So we'll figure it out. But there's big wood there. And, you know, let's get this going, guys. I forgot to mention this. When it was snowing still, they had one of their big trucks on the edge of the street out in front where they're doing, you know, where they need to have it. And one of the tires was on top of an area, again, of my lawn, front lawn. And when they went to move it, it was so muddy and so wet and snowy that they just tried to kick it out and created like this big freaking torn up like grass hole pit in the front.
In your lawn?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to call them out. See, this is what I want to do. I want them to be done, and then I want to call them and go, all right, come fix my grass, jackasses. That's what I want to do. But I don't know. We'll see how quick they do this. Their deadline
is a battle you don't want to fight.
Their deadline's supposed to be this month, but I don't think they're going to make it. Like, they were supposed to be done by the end of the month, but they're not. It's not looking good, even though they've been here at the crack of dawn and they're there till like 8 o'clock at night.
Sure.
It's not working. Anyway, so there's that. Secondly, I'm extremely excited about the trailer I just saw this morning for The Magnificent Seven remake, coming out with your Denzel Washington in the main role. He's your Yul Brynner in this.
Okay. All right.
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt's your like suave ladies' man guy from the first movie. At this point,
Chris Pratt would come to a letter opening.
Exactly. He really would. And to all of you, Seven Samurai was better in the first place. Hollywood just keeps regurgitating this. Just shut up for today. Shut up. I want this movie. I want it to be good. I like Antoine Fuqua. He's made some great movies. Mm-hmm. I love The Replacement Killers. Training Day is amazing. Equalizer was great until the last 10 minutes. Like, there's some great stuff under that guy's belt. So leave him alone.
Right.
You also got Vincent D'Onofrio as like fat guy with a beard. I don't know what role that is, if it's the preacher or whatever yet. I don't know.
So he's old man Kingpin.
Why not?
Old man Western Kingpin.
Why not? The seven of them got to do some heroic business and save this freaking town. And that's exciting. It's a Western. I'm all in. And the cover they used for that trailer is amazing. Mm-hmm. And the action looks really, really good. And if you tell me that a guy jumping off the edge of a porch in the middle of town backwards, flipping around and shooting two guns that he pulled out of his holster midair, if you're telling me that's a bad idea, then you and I we can't be friends.
We're gonna have words, sir.
Right. So I'm really jazzed about it. And if you haven't seen it, go watch it. And also, Chris Pratt belongs in Westerns. It's fine. It's totally fine. He fits right in, man.
He seems to fit right in. And here's the thing. You know, you're hardly a barometer, being that you love Westerns anyway.
Right. No, I'm biased.
I'm not a Western fan. Mm-hmm. I won't say you're hardly a barometer.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Western fan, and I'm excited for this movie. That's how good it looks.
Okay. See, look at that, you guys. Brian doesn't even care about Westerns normally. And look at him now. Look at him now. Exactly. It looks really well. It looks really cool. And again, you know, trailers are what they are. But I'm one of those people. I don't want to freak anybody out, but I'm one of those people that wants to see it before I judge it.
No, that's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
What are you, like, from the 1990s or something?
You know how many tweets I got this morning that were immediately this? Oh, you should see Hollywood using some original ideas. Or Kurosawa's film is better. Or that music doesn't fit. Or any other bullshit. It's like, calm down and wait. It's coming whether you like it or not, people. It'll be here in the fall. You can see it and judge for yourself. Or not. Avoid it completely. But I don't care. All right. So let's move on. Soundography in its final throws.
That's right. Like, just a couple hours left of the Kickstarter for Soundography, the new show with me and Hammond Chamberlain. And it has been funded. It has been funded. And we've even reached our first stretch goal, which is basically to give everybody who pledges at $25 or more, they get a poker chip, custom poker chip, which is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. We're going to add another stretch goal. We've just added it, a new stretch goal. If we hit $22.50, and we're like, you know, we're about a couple hundred away from that. If we hit $22.50, we are going to add another show that is going to be nominated, the subject of which is going to be nominated on and voted on by all the pledgers. So if you are one of the pledgers, you will get to nominate your idea for a special episode of Soundography, and then we'll do a big vote with all of the nominees, and then the winner will be, it'll be done as a show. And you'll get credit, of course, for suggesting it. So any level. So if you back it at $1, you're part of this. If you back it at $5, you're part of this. Whatever level you back it at, you'll automatically be included in this nomination and voting.
That's fantastic.
So tinyurl.com/soundography, or just go to Kickstarter and do a search for Soundography and back it. Help push this thing over its next stretch goal. And there's just 2 hours to go is what Kickstarter is telling me right now.
Type in Soundography spelled like Soundography.
Right. Soundography.
Yeah. Soundography. Exactly. That's what you should call it.
That's right. Well,
too late.
We probably will. If people tend to mispronounce it, we'll start calling it Soundography.
If you call it that, you know what people will think of you. They'll think that you do this.
Smoke weed every day.
I'm going to use that a bunch today. It's 420.
Sure.
All right. Let's get Daryl in here. I got to get down from my post, my old man lawn anger mode and get down to business.
How much wood is it? Is enough wood that you guys could just move it into the...
It's too heavy.
Oh, wow.
It's a ton of it. Like, I would need my own forklift heavy.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It's a beast. Right. Like, you should... You know what? I'm taking pictures today. Okay. That's what I'm going to do. In fact, why am I not doing that in general? I should be documenting...
You should actually put a sign on it that says free wood, help yourself.
Yeah, here's some wood. Come get wood, everyone, and put signs all over the neighborhood on big like arrows on posters and stuff. That's what I should do. I like the sound of all of
this. Does it look discarded or does it look like, oh, we're gonna be using this for something we need to?
No, it looks like fancy lumber. It looks like real nice. Yeah, I think I'm in, dude. All right, time to settle in for, Daryl to complain too. I don't know what you'd do, Daryl. Would you fight Javier Forklift or what would you do? Would you fight?
I think I must have missed the last part of that story.
Oh, well, it's just the wood on my lawn. All this wood.
Oh.
What would you do? You're an angry old fart. What would you do?
Just roll it into the road, eh?
All right.
Set fire to the wood.
Yeah, set fire. Yeah, pour kerosene on it and light it aflame. It's time for Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by RentTheChicken.com. Farm fresh eggs without the commitment. Our six-month rental includes a dozen eggs a week, two hens, a coop, feed, and supplies. Free delivery to more than 40 major cities in the U.S. and Canada. Don't be a chicken. Visit RentTheChicken.com.
I like it. As always, we play this little game with a listener, and that listener is on the line with us now. Who is this?
It's Ian. I am Sci-Fi.
Oh, good. Ian, I am Sci-Fi. Always up for a challenge. Good to have you here, man.
Have you won yet, I am Sci-Fi?
I have not actually dialed in yet.
Yeah, this is my first time.
Oh, cool.
This is your first time.
I'm so used to seeing you in the chat room.
Yeah, me too. And you called Hotline Monday once, didn't you?
Yeah, like two or three times.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's why. Yeah, I hear him on there all the time. That's why I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he calls all the time. But this is his first time with a chance to win, which today includes additional prizes. Brian, explain the rules and the prize package.
Will do. So I am Sci-Fi. We're going to tell you the category. We're going to tell you and Daryl the category. It wouldn't be fair if we just told you. We're going to tell you and Daryl the category to a trivia question that we're about to ask him. You are going to predict whether or not you think Daryl can get that question right. If your prediction is correct, today you will win a code for Wolf Among Us on Steam, any song from the Andrew Allen Library, and added today, a Norwegian CD. Javol?
Yep. A weird Norwegian CD. And here's the great thing. And whenever you say you get something from the Andrew Allen Library, it makes me think we have to like tell Andrew to give him a song out of his iTunes or something.
That'd be great, right?
Yeah.
Listen, it's all going to be Stan Getz and Thelonious Monk and stuff like that.
A bunch of stuff that makes it seem like Andrew Allen should be 89 years old.
Why not?
Anyway, all right. So let's get to the subject today. Brian, what is our topic?
And by the way, I know that Javol is not Norwegian. I guess I could have said pork. The category today is Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Oh, my. Look at us going back to the roots here. What do you think, man? What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to right or wrong?
You know, I mean, we are going old school today, and Daryl tends to know Next Generation. That seems to be his bag. I'm going to guess that he's going to get this one right.
All right.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. Yeah. I think you're onto something, I am Sci-Fi.
Yeah. You're like Batman, Detective Comics Batman over there, figuring this stuff out. I like it. All right, Daryl.
My parents are alive, though.
Oh, good. Thank goodness. You know, if there are movies, what's your mom's name? Yeah. Is your mom's name Martha? No?
No, it's Beth. Okay. So yeah, don't even fall into that trope.
If there was a movie about I Am Sci-Fi, every one of them would start with an opening where your parents made it home just fine from a movie. That's how it would work. We'd be told every time. Yep.
And then he'd fall into a pit full of bats, and they wouldn't flap around and lift him up.
No, they just he just got. They would just flap around. Yeah, smells in here. I'm getting out.
It'd be baseball bats instead of flying bats.
That's right. No guano smell, at least you got that.
Yeah, right.
Guano. All right, Daryl. Speaking of guano, let's get to you, buddy. Let's get right into this here. Guy who would take the wood out and put it in the street. If I did that, they would probably rise up, dude. I'd be dead or something. I don't know what they'd do.
Beat you with the wood.
I'm looking at one of them right now.
He's up on a giant crane. That crane, by the way, if they screw up, if they're not professional about this, the crane that I'm looking at could tip my direction, smash through my house, destroy my bedroom, and probably the room next to it. So they got to be careful.
You better hope they're not taking 420 literally then.
Oh, my Lord. I don't want to think about it. All right, Daryl, here's your, I got your question. It's here and it's ready for you. Do you like Westerns, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You excited about The Magnificent Seven?
Daryl, you like gladiator movies?
You ever seen a grown man naked? You know, they could never do that joke today, don't you think?
No, they really couldn't.
Talking to a kid like that, there's no way. No way. Also, there wouldn't be a PG movie with boobs in it. That's the other thing you couldn't
do. Exactly,
yeah. Times were different in Airplane. All right, anyway, whatever. I'm looking forward to
that. They were fully covered boobs. They were just or am I thinking of a different scene? It was the one where they're panning through the cabin and you see the woman with the jello in front of her and then...
Oh, different scene. Because this one is actual out of the shirt boobers.
Okay.
Flopping across the screen for brief, you know, it's brief, but it's like, sure. I don't know, 5 seconds. It's like a Vine video.
Gotcha.
Where you can't even do that without getting in trouble.
No.
In the Next Generation episode, A Matter of Honor. Gee, I wonder if this is a Worf-related one.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Commander Riker takes part in an officer exchange program. Remember this one? Mm-hmm. He is stationed on a Klingon ship. He beats up on a Klingon lieutenant. This Klingon says he will listen to Riker's orders after the fight. The ship's captain says that Riker will have to listen to his orders. What is the name of the captain of this Klingon ship? Is it Captain Mortog? Is it Captain Kargan? Is it Captain Gimator? Did you say that right, Brian? Gimator?
Yeah, Gimator, yeah.
Gimator, all right.
Gimator.
Or Captain Bracklul. Bracklulz is even better. If it's L-E-L, if that was L-U-L-Z, that'd be funny. Captain Bracklul. So you got Mortog, Kargan, Gimator, or Bracklul. So those are your options, man. All of them terrible. And all of them real. These are all actual Klingons. So the question is, which one is the captain from this episode? So now, think about it. Roll it around in your head there and make way. What do you think?
Well, hold on. He's got time to think about it because we're going to eat that horrible salty saltwater taffy today.
I'm glad you reminded me. I totally forgot we were doing that. Or maybe I secretly hoped you forgot.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
So find one of the ones that's just solid pink.
Okay, got it.
Oh, I'm not doing this again.
No, you don't have to. You can eat another one of the good ones.
You can do any flavor you want. You've already suffered through this.
Yeah. If only it means we get to hear your bag again. That'd be great. All right, so I'm going to open this up here. It's all pink. Mm-hmm. See, chat? I'm doing the pink one, so there's no cheating. Brian's is all pink.
No huffery puffery.
All white with pink eyes. All right, great.
Like a Pokemon character.
You know, it's have I told you guys this story? I cannot. If somebody says the term albino in reference to a person or an animal or anything,
sure,
I cannot not say the following statement. It is in my DNA to say this. So they'll say, that bear is an albino, and I will go, oh, you mean all white with pink eyes? I say it every time.
Really?
Yep. It annoys everyone I know. Everyone who cares about me or is close to me can't stand that I do it. All right, here we go. I'm nervous about this.
All right.
Okay. Well, this is fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not fine.
It's a little tart.
Yeah, I'd say it's more tart than salty.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
I'm going to eat another one.
Our secret mission is complete. Daryl has to eat another one now.
This is all subliminal.
This isn't my favorite, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't strike me as, it just is like sour, you know?
Daryl, chew with your mouth closed.
My sister Misha does this thing. It makes me laugh every time. My Korean sister Misha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I have a Korean sister and she has a Russian name. Okay. Just live with it. She does this when she tastes something for the first time. Doesn't matter what it is, a little food tasting or something. She'll put a little bit in her mouth and go.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
It's just so annoying.
She's apparently been watching that guy who works for
Oh yeah,
some ice cream company who does the taste. I think we played that clip on.
We've had him on the show.
Yeah.
What was he called? Hold on, let's see if I got him.
Search for ice cream.
I kissed her. She tasted like tobacco.
No.
It sure tastes like cheese.
No.
One of those tastes just kicked me in the thing.
I can't find it, but yes, he's great. And
I thought
he was
under ice cream. See, do you have anything for ice cream?
Oh, maybe. Let's see. Ice cream.
I can walk on water, eat bullets, and shit ice cream.
Nope.
Where has that clip been all my life?
I think we've played it before, haven't we? I think we have.
I'm sure we have. If it's on here, we played it.
Okay, here's another one. How about... Well, that's a dog screaming. Oh, scream. I spelled cream instead of scream. All right, one more. Oh, that's me. Also spelled
really,
scream wrong.
I'm really glad now that I have the phone so close to my ear.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
That was me yelling at a horror game when I was streaming right. It once. All right, Daryl, there you go. And you still say it's real bad. You just tried it again and you still hate it, right?
Yeah, no, I still hate it.
All right. Mm-hmm. It's a little on
It's tart, and I guess I see the saltiness, but it's, I don't know, I don't see it as unpleasantly, it's certainly not my favorite flavor in here. I'll totally give you that.
It's like that thing where only some people smell, what's the thing they can only smell?
Well, cilantro is the thing where, there's a big dividing line where some people say it tastes like soap, other people really like it. I'm on the really like it camp.
Yeah, I love cilantro. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't know what people's problems
are. Oh, I love cilantro. I can pick one out of the ground and eat the whole plant.
Oh, my.
You know, it's an actual gene that makes it taste like soap.
Right, isn't that the deal?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same. Isn't there also a gene that, okay, so the thing with asparagus is supposed to make your pee smell bad. It isn't that the pee smells bad, it's that... You have to be a person who has the gene that can smell it,
right,
or something like that. So either you're smelling, so some people like me, like I know this is a little personal, everybody, but I cannot smell what people are talking about. When I eat a ton of asparagus, no problem. But I'll bet somebody else could like be in the crapper with me and go, oh, no, you're eating, you had a lot of stuff, right?
And then they'd say, and why am I in the bathroom with you?
That's a bad idea all around. All right, Daryl, back to your deal here. You got your Mortog, your Kargan, your Gymtor, and your Brakul, or Brakul.
Okay. I think I know this one.
Oh.
Because it reminds me of your soaking in it.
Oh.
So I'm going to pick Kargan.
Oh.
Kargan, take me away.
Yes,
soaking
exactly.
Soaking in it. Don't I have a clip of that somewhere, right?
Yeah, you're thinking of you're soaking in it was Palmolive dishwashing liquid?
Oh, was
the
it?
The morning stream.
Yeah. Whoops.
The morning stream. You're soaking in it.
Oh, that's what I have.
Yeah. Right. But Calgon was the Calgon take me away, and it was also the ancient Chinese secret.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But what was the stuff again that you put your hand in? What was that called?
I think it was Palmolive.
Palmolive, that's it. Yeah. That's right. And the lady would say, you're soaking in it and piss everybody
off. That's
right.
Here, put your hands in this dish of green liquid while I talk to you.
Yeah.
And then it was always Madge.
And they would say, lady,
right, friggin' Madge.
They'd say, lady, are you...
Smoke weed
every
day.
Oh, no, that doesn't work. Are you smoke weed every day? Jeez. should have been do you. All right, here we go. You say Kargan or Kargan.
Yeah. Kargan.
Let's find out if you're right. Judges, is it?
Congratulations.
It is.
Yes.
You're a winner.
I am Sci-Fi, first-time caller and winner of The Wolf right. Among Us, The Andrew Allen Song, and The Norwegian CD. What you're going to want to do is email Brian Ibbett at coverville@gmail.com and take, that's where he'll give you the pick for the song, and then he'll forward that to me, and I'll get you the Norwegian CD, which is the physical part of this, and I'll get you the Wolf Among Us code on that email.
Exactly. Fantastic. Yeah. So look through the Andrew Allen list of songs first, figure out which one you want, and then email me coverville@gmail.com.
Yeah. And everybody else everyone else out there who's getting physical stuff from us, if you don't have yours yet, it could be one of you had gotten lost in the cracks for me a little bit, but I've got you now. I got you covered. So if you haven't seen it yet, don't worry. I'll ship them out today or tomorrow, and you're all good, including yours. So congratulations. Cool. May your Norwegian CD ever play. In your car stereo.
Ever shine brightly.
Yeah. I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. Congrats.
Congrats. All right. Daryl is the Trek Nerd. He's that and more. Just follow him on Twitter at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at this week in Trek, this week in Trek.com. All right. Daryl? Daryl, why don't you now do us a Google thing? I like these.
Okay, we're just going with the first one again.
All right.
My blank stinks.
I'm going to say, based on our asparagus talk, I'm going to say my pee stinks.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Because I think people are going to be looking on Google for a solution, for a reason.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just to be different and see if I can get this right. I'm going to say my car stinks.
Okay.
I'm going to say car.
Okay. All right,
how'd we do there?
I love the chat room's suggestions.
My ex-wife stinks. My finger stinks. Some of these. Jeez, eat David C. Slow down there, buddy. Woo! Yeah, there's some. My podcast stinks. There's a good one. All right, so who went? I'm guessing Brian wins this. This seems right to me.
Well, nobody wins. It's my belly button stinks.
Ew! Oh, that grosses me out to even hear it.
Also, how flexible are you?
What's number 2 and 3?
I don't have those.
Oh, well, let me look them up. My blank stinks. I just realized something. This doesn't work.
Well, if you just do my and stinks, it it in there.
Okay, you're right. So mine is dog.
My dog stinks.
Dishwasher and pee, breath and urine.
Oh, maybe I need to look this up again. Let's see what happens when I do it again.
Because I got dog stinks, which means we also didn't win. And I thought
dog, dishwasher, pee, and breath.
Yeah, I got that too. I have urine at the end of breath, but.
Oh, geez.
How do you get more? I only have four choices.
Mindset starts with a V.
I got five. Oh. My Veronica Belmont stinks? What? That doesn't make sense.
No reason to go any further than that.
All right. Hanging up on Daryl then. Here's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
Some people might say already went too far.
Yeah.
Michael's mother died when a creature unlike anything he's ever seen before died at his feet. He was able to gain magic through music because of this and has been trying to control his newfound powers since that time. Drawing the eye of the government down upon him, Michael must flee from everything he's ever known. If this sounds good, head on over to inkshares.com/books/wish-hunt, wish-hunt to pre-order today. While you're over there, search out Pilot X by Tom Merritt and pre-order that as well. He's why Inkshares was introduced to me, and it gives me the opportunity to get my first book published and to show my firstborn son the possibilities the world will have for him.
Oh, I love that. Inkshares.com/book/witch-hunt.
Witch-hunt. Don't spell out dash, by the way. It's not a race of witches.
No, or the little kid from The Incredibles, all right?
Right.
Get that correct, straight. Yeah. Brian, I got some French news for you.
Yeah,
here you go. Really bad trip is the headline. Frenchman on LSD beats his girlfriend, hacked off his penis, and then jumped out the window.
Oh, geez.
He's alive, though. He's been hospitalized after he jumped out of his apartment window following an episode which saw him attack his girlfriend and almost sever his penis completely, all while high on LSD. Acid. Angel dust. What else are they called? Or am I mixing?
PCP. Angel dust is PCP.
What are they? What's some nicknames?
What are the other nicknames for LSD?
Yeah. I can't think
it's,
of any.
I
have no idea.
I can't think of any of the other.
My drug knowledge is limited at best.
Yes to acid, but I'm trying to think of what.
Oh, so when you're dropping acid, like.
Right.
Okay, so they say yes in there. Fairy dandruff. Yeah, that's it. You know where you can score some fairy dandruff here in town? Anyway, firefighters were called to the scene of the incident in the Fives district of Lille. At around
Lille or something, yeah.
Yeah, I tell Patrick about this story, see what he thinks. Around 5 a.m. on Tuesday, where they found the bloodied man on the ground. Well, I hope he's bloodied. He fell out of an apartment window.
Yeah. And hacked off his penis.
Yeah. Well, not in that order, but yes.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that'd be another reason he'd be bloodied.
You know what I like the idea of? Him jumping out. Let's just change the order. Jumps out of the window, severs it midair, hits the ground, and then beats his girlfriend with his severed wiener. There you go.
Oh, jeez.
I went there.
It's a Tarantino film all of a sudden.
It's understood that the 30-year-old had gotten high on the hallucinogenic drug earlier in the night and ended up arguing with his 23-year-old partner, reports France 3. This is France 3. During the course of his argument, the man who had not been named hit the woman before taking a knife to his own unit, severing it partially. As if that's not bad enough, the situation deteriorated when he jumped from the window of the second floor of the apartment, falling 4 meters to the ground. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Emergency services described the man as, quote, extremely disturbed individual. Mm. And as being, quote, agitated. He was transferred to Lille University Hospital shortly after being treated for serious injuries, but it is understood he is in stable condition. Let's see, it ends here with his partner was brought to a separate hospital, St. Vincent's, to be treated for minor injuries. I would break up with him if I were you.
Yeah, I'd say that's don't go to the hospital to check in on him. I'd say take this opportunity to pack your things and GTFO.
Yep. Speaking of problematic penises, mm-hmm. John Cusack woman.
It's John Cusack woman.
Actually, the way this headline works doesn't really work. A woman threatened to curse John Cusack's penis.
Okay, so that there should be quotes in there. TMZ should have put quotes in that headline.
Yeah, good job, TMZ. You're the best. Yeah. A woman is so infatuated with John Cusack, she showed up at his house multiple times and even threatened to do a little black magic on his unit, according to the actor. Cusack filed documents requesting a restraining order against Mariantino Sabali.
Was that my saying that right? Maria Retino.
Mary Retino Sabali.
Yeah, I'm not liking that name at all. Mary Retino.
It's a rough one.
Yeah.
He says showed up at his house uninvited 3 months in a row, but John was never home. Well, he's a busy guy. Yeah. He's out making movies and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Cusack believes the woman is monitoring his travel through social media and fears.
What she needs to do is stand out on his in his front yard holding up a boombox. That's
your
the first mistake.
Eyes, I find the heat or whatever. You're wearing feet. All right. Cusack believes, I said that. She says Sabali, or whatever her name is, reached out to his family as well, sending a couple of creepy emails to his sister-in-law. In one, she says Cusack came to her in a dream and called him her favorite actor from the movie Serendipity. This is oddly specific, isn't it? Isn't that weird?
Well, it's not like there's a lot of choices in Serendipity. I mean, you've got, not Keira Knightley, who's the underworld...
I've seen. Oh,
Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale, yeah.
Yeah, basically, it's John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale. So, like, saying it's not like saying, "Oh, you're my favorite actor from The Player."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah.
My favorite actor from Rat Race, or it's a mad, 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 mad world. It's like, you know, try naming a third person from the movie Serendipity.
I can't. It's not. You can't prove it. You can't.
Right.
Another email was much darker. In it, he says Sabali threatened to perform a black candle spell on him. She's quoted as saying, which, according to her, would make him impotent for life.
No, no.
Your wiener no longer works. That was enough for a judge to grant Cusack the restraining order. She has to stay 100 yards away and have no contact with him, as well as his brother and sister-in-law. So there you go.
But Joan Cusack is still on the table.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah.
She's
no. So his brother and his sister-in-law can't go near them, but hey, you can go hang out with Joan Cusack.
Do you think they get along? Do you think they're friends? Like, I always wonder about siblings in Hollywood.
John and Joan?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they've done movies together. I don't think you let your sister be in Gross Point Blank if you have problems with her.
Is it weird that I want to see that?
Because he's the pole, right?
I mean,
he's
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Does it weird that I want to see that movie constantly, like all the time?
No, not weird at all. That's a great movie. That's a classic.
If you say to me, Scott, we got the 90s here, and you need to pick one movie you thought you liked the most of that whole decade, which one do you like there the most? I would have said Gross Point Blank.
Right.
I love that movie. Right.
No, I think I see the two of them like in together for Thanksgiving and Easter and birthdays and stuff like that. For some reason, it seems like they have a good relationship.
Got a quick thing for you.
All right.
Do you remember the film set guys and you and Randy and everybody were giving me a hard time for never seeing Boogie Nights?
Oh, right. Yeah.
I watched Boogie Nights.
Oh, what'd you think?
Whew.
Yeah.
That's
a movie about the porn industry. I mean, it's
an unblinking look at the weird late 70s, early 80s world of that that stuff. It's I mean, I'm a big Paul S. Thomas Anderson man friend. Like, I like him.
Paul S. W. Thomas J. K. Anderson.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
He's great. And I like his movies, and I will drink his milkshake anytime. But this was a very odd film. I didn't expect to see Mr. Lundegaard go out that way. That was unexpected.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
There's some moments.
Again, there's another big cast. So, you know, saying, oh, you know, Burt Reynolds, you were my favorite actor in Boogie Nights. That's saying a lot. But saying, oh, Burt Reynolds, you were my favorite actor in Smokey and the Bandit 4.
Right.
It's not saying so much.
No. Not even, what was the other one they were in? The not the Great Race. What was it called? Cannonball Run. You could
Cannonball
say
Run.
You could even try to say that there where it had a huge cast, but
big
it was still a Burt Reynolds movie.
It really was. Yeah, we need to watch one of those as soon as they're available. We need to watch one for FilmSack.
I agree.
I honestly have not seen him since Drive-In Movie Theater, 1974.
Oh,
whatever.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah,
it's Jackie Chan's in one of them.
Right. Maybe, that's the one we need to see, whichever
maybe both.
One that is.
It might be both. I don't know.
Mission to Moscow or something. Cannonball Run for Training Day. I don't know what it is. I don't know the names of these things.
Yeah. You've made an interesting idea for a combination, though. I like it. All right. Let's get to this story, which we have some hands-on experience, it turns out.
Won't say that.
Wild Vegas VR porn experience gives room service a new twist. Brian sent this article to me yesterday and said we should probably talk about this. I said, sure. The new product trial is aiming to put the strip in the strip. Sin City's embracing virtual reality pornography in a big way, with Las Vegas hotels considering offering VR porn experiences as a room service of sorts in a wildly immersive way. VR porn will blow your mind, but the X-rated Vegas experience goes a step further by filming the on-screen interaction in a hotel room that resembles your own to really put you in the action.
Because that's the one thing that takes me out of virtual reality porn is, well, this isn't my hotel room.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this is 360 videos, this is.
Yeah, well, they actually like go so far as to say, well, there's the CVS bag in the corner with the coconut water in it and the iPad with the Hearthstone on it right there on the desk.
Yep. So it's, by the way, for money, it's going to cost you $20. Mm-hmm. You receive an Aura Visor VR headset loaded with VR Bangers software. That's who's making this. It's called the VR Bangers Hotel Experience. By the way, can I just say something here?
Yeah. Yeah,
I am not putting that headset on. Dude.
I was gonna say, if you're at all concerned about the 3D glasses having poop on them, I can't imagine
you're
gonna want to put these on them.
I don't even want to wear like an Oculus at a gaming conference in a booth somewhere. I don't want to put on other people's headsets because you're gonna get pink eye and a billion other things. It's freaking disgusting.
Right.
So I will. This is something I will never do. And people will say, "Oh, you prude." Nope.
No,
it's because that thing's nasty, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I know what they were doing when they took off that VR headset. And I'm sure that they didn't go into the bathroom and wash their hands afterwards.
Right. And I'll tell you something else. I don't even use the glasses in my hotel room in Vegas. Like when they put have the two glasses. I never drink out of those. And here's why. When I'm walking through the hall and Conchita, whatever, is walking around with her cart with all her stuff to refill the deal, right?
We're not going to say Conchita. We're just going to say, because we're going to say whatever housekeeping person happens to be pushing that cart.
I'm just trying to rile people up.
You're probably going to
succeed. I'll probably succeed. But what they don't know is the joke's on them, because it's just me trying to rile them up. Anyway, whenever I see their carts in the hall, they don't have any glasses on those carts. I think they go in there and just wipe them out with their hand, and there you go. There's your done deal.
Oh, really? No, of course they do. They totally have the glasses. I thought you were going to say that you're expecting people who'd walk down the hall, stick their hand down their pants, and then take the little plastic, the little paper thing off the lid, and then run their finger around the top of the glass.
I just don't trust it. And there's video. There was like some hidden video released from somewhere. I don't know where it was, Atlantic City or something, where maids were just taking the cups that were already there, been used, wiping them out with one of the towels, looking at it in the light, make sure it's okay, and putting it back and putting a little cup condom on it. F that, dude. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is why I go to the CVS and I pick up bottles of water and coconut water and stuff like that.
Don't trust it.
That's what you just got to do and drink that.
All right, so this thing's $20. Once you've made your selection of what performer you want in the room, The scene starts with a knock on the door, and you can guess where it goes from there.
I love that line. It's just like right out of the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
He fixes the cable.
Totally, dude. All right, so you, for science.
Right, from this article, so it's a PCWorld.com article. They actually had a link to sample stuff that you could use with your Google Cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to have a BB-8 Google Cardboard here that I, talk about, you know, it's like watching porn on your child's rubberized tablet from Kohl's or something.
I was going to say, what are we doing with the Weebles today? Oh, they're going to sit next to me in this porn theater. Like, weird. That's weird.
Watched about 5 seconds of it, but it's one of those where, like, as you move your view around, you see the whole scene. And
It's 360 video, so you're seeing like the walls and the
right exactly
you,
the video I saw takes place in the champagne room, and it was weird. It's just disturbing and weird. So I got through maybe 20-30 seconds of it and was like, all right, I'm done. I watched it for science.
It is weird. Vegas, you're weird.
You can actually feel free to, if you ever need to borrow my Google Cardboard, you can rest assured that nothing unsavory happened with this Google Cardboard. The only thing I've touched before touching this Google Cardboard is taffy. That's
it. Yeah. I'll give you an example of a VR headset I will wear that is publicly available and other people have had it on their head because I need to do it to at least report on it. And that's at this place here in Salt Lake or near here that has that big virtual reality like warehouse where I think of it as laser tag, except you're all wearing VR helmets and backpacks and it's all wireless and the whole place is being generated in front of you in VR. I forgot the name of it. Crap. Someone else will know this in the chat because this is something we've talked about. Oh, The Void. There you go.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Gana Janus or whatever. Anyway, it's kind of a big deal out here and people are talking about it all over the place. It looks like the kind of thing I need to experience, and I will risk the pink eye once for that.
Wow. All right. Brave man.
One time.
Yeah.
But not on VR bangers in Vegas.
No chance.
Not a chance.
Oh, it looks like my hotel room? Wow. That's a way to go above and beyond.
Except the bed's made and my shit's not all over the floor.
Does that mean that they had to go into each style of room they have and film?
Yes, and it could have been yours, dude.
It could have been your room.
There's so much wrong with this.
I don't hold any assumptions that the most horrible thing has been done in my hotel room on the bed on which I'm sleeping when I go to Vegas. I don't go in there thinking, well, this room has probably never, had.
Oh, no, you have to go in and think there's been a murder or something.
I'm sure no one's ever had a Cleveland steamer on this bed. You can't walk into a hotel room in Vegas and just assume that. That's the city where people go to foul the rooms.
I would like to make an apology to anyone today, just today's episode, who drives their kids to school and listens to the show on the way and hopes for just little poo-poo jokes or whatever. I apologize.
Did that one cross the line? Is that a line crosser?
I don't know. Just today. Today feels on the edge. Today feels blue for some reason.
Okay, all right.
It's fine. Right. Viola. Final news. Viola Davis. She's the older African American actress who plays the head of the CIA or whoever who gets the Suicide Squad together.
Right.
I can't think of her other things she's been in. I really like her though.
She was in The Help.
Oh, that's right. Right, The Help.
She's in How to Get Away with Murder, I think, right?
I think so. By the way, I watched some of that Empire. I'll talk about that after the break. That's a weird... Empire's weird. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Anyway, she says she didn't receive any wacky Suicide Squad gifts from Jared Leto. Everyone else did, and she didn't get one. And she feels a little bad.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a little unfair, Jared.
He sent several gifts to co-stars, like used condoms, for example.
Oh, well, maybe she really should be happy she didn't receive any gifts from Jared Leto.
He gave a rat to Will Smith, I think, got the rat.
Really?
Somebody else got what's listed here as, quote,
anal beads, unquote.
Some other weird trinkets, and she was spared, and she says she's okay with it. She said, I did not receive any gifts personally, or else I would have got my husband, who was called the headache ball, back in the day when he played football, and he would have said, take care of the Joker.
Her the headache ball was...
was the name of her husband.
Her husband's nickname, the headache ball?
The headache ball. That's okay. Weird. That's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem threatening. No. It seems like all I have to do is play some loud music and and I've...
Touchdown!
My one weakness! Ah!
Not another migraine. If anything, if you only motivated her to work harder, she says, oh shit, I've got to have my stuff together, Davis recalling thinking. You talk about commitment, unquote. Anyway, he didn't send her weird stuff. Right. But I'll tell you what, we got some weird stuff planned ahead. Not that weird, but coming right up. Recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and a whole bunch more. Before all of that, though, let's do a little musical break, shall we?
Sure. Sure. It's a city in Ohio. Come on now, people.
Yeah, relax.
Chill. What's your geez, Louise?
Oh, I see? Like the sound of that.
Right there. Yeah. Kara from, or Kara from Massachusetts. I hope I'm sure one of those was right. Hey, Brian and Scott, I want to quit my job, period. It is my first post-college occupation, and I will have been working for this god-awful, lousy excuse for a company for 5 years this April. I'm in my fourth position, promoted twice, but no amount of monetary incentive would placate my desire to GTFO. This company cares nothing for its employees, and my management team is sorely lacking in the management skills needed to lead effectively. No part of me wants to succumb to being a lifer, shambling around like a zombie, grumbling about every minor thing and commenting on a daily need to drink myself to oblivion. So, Brian, please pick a motivational anthem that will kickstart my resume scrubbing, interview scoring butt into gear. Wow. I trust your capable hands. I like most all types of music, aside from country, and I love all things Disney. Thanks so much, Kara. P.S. I do not have a Massachusetts accent.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So no packing the car and have it yet.
Pack the car.
All right. Well, I didn't pick a Disney song, but I felt like, all right, well, you know, there's some change going on in your life, right? There's, mm-hmm. there's the seasons change and other things change. I feel like I'm giving a Donald Trump. I get great seasons. I actually have some very great seasons, and seasons are changing.
I never repeat myself.
Here's a song that talks about everybody's time to change. This is a cover from the Brady Bunch.
Oh my. All right.
A song that they did, I think, is the Silver Platters. When Peter's voice was changing, they wrote a song all about it. However, this actually does apply, I think, to the change of getting a new job and starting fresh somewhere else. At least I hope it does. This is by a guy who's gotten me so much great music over the years, a guy named Michael Carpenter. Mm. And in 2011, he released an album called Songs of Other People, Volume 3. He's released at least four of these. And they're all really, really good. Michael Carpenter from Songs of Other People, Volume 3 from 2011 with the Brady Bunch's Time to Change.
And then winter turns to spring. It's not just the seasons, you know, it goes for everything. Clouds turn to rain and then it just might snow. You gotta take a lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know. When it's time to change, then it's time to change. Live like the tide, come along for the ride, don't you see? When it's time to change, the changes you've been through. A little bit of living, a little bit of growing, all adds up to you. Every boy's a man inside, a girl's a woman too. And if you wanna reach your destiny, here's what you gotta do. When it's time to change, then it's time to change. Live like the tide, come along for the ride, don't you see? When
it's time to change. You've got to rearrange who you are into what you're gonna be.
What a day! I tapped into the power.
Tell me about it.
There I was, an ordinary mom. Then I slid into my computer chair, and with a few clicks of my mouse, I became a mom on the net with the world at my fingertips.
A mom on the net.
Out the window.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
All right, we're back. That was a jaunty little song. I liked it.
Heck yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Mm-hmm. Not going to complain. This was supposed to play and it didn't.
Now, out the window.
Now, out the window. The window. It's from some film sack movie. I don't remember. All right, Nicole, time. Nicole, time.
Yeah.
We're calling Nicole.
All right.
It's her time. It's her time. She'll get in here. We'll talk some more, and we'll do our thing, and maybe we ought to play a little thing for it. How about this right here? About a little this right here.
Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole.
Nicole Spagnolo. What's going on?
Me?
How are you? How's
oh,
life?
Oh, you know.
Yeah? A baby and a toddler. Well, no, he's not a toddler.
I'm just a mom on the internet.
Yeah. You're a mom on the
with
net.
The web at your fingers.
I That's got the right. web at my fingers.
That's fantastic.
You want to? I have another PSA.
Oh, give it.
Oh, good.
So apparently, I have skin cancer.
No, shut up.
Oh no.
I had this.
When they give you the news, they call it basal cell carcinoma.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. What is it? Like a mole or something? Or what happened?
No, it's non-life threatening. But good. I had my skin checked out because I live in Arizona, so I'm like every year I get my skin checked out.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I had a thing right here that cropped up when Mateo was born.
Yeah.
And I went to the dermatologist and they were like, oh, it's nothing. We it's probably something that just, you know, a skin tag that kind of came up. Well, I went to a different dermatologist this last time. Mm-hmm. I waited a year. Mm-hmm. She goes, yeah, that came up pretty fast. We're gonna just take it off. I'm like, sounds good. It annoys me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you'll hear from us in 10 to 14 days. Well, they called me back in 2 days.
No.
Wow.
Because did they biopsy it first?
I was like, ah, crap.
Did they biopsy it first? And then that's how they knew?
And I have to go in on May 25th for a process called a mole surgery.
Mm.
They basically just keep taking away skin
until
it comes back clean. So it can be a 3 to 6 hour process.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, but I just want to let people know you need to get your skin checked.
Yeah. Especially
if you even question it. Like, yeah, totally.
Especially three whiteys like us, man. Like we are susceptible. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
My mom just had a thing, thankfully caught it early, got it removed. My brother Mark had a thing. I had a thing that was weird because it wasn't spreading and was never life threatening, but I had a thing on my neck that I got taken out in 99.
Yeah.
You want to get checked, man.
It's definitely worth it.
Especially, you know,
mine was just, it wasn't a regular shape. It wasn't a weird color. It just looked like it. I mean, that's why the first dermatologist said, oh, it's just a skin tag. I mean, she looked at it and didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one said, that came up pretty fast.
Yeah.
Let's just take it off anyway. And I'm like, yep, okay.
I got a weird one on my leg that I was sure was something because it's shaped so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also in a weird kind of place behind my knee. And I went in to have it looked at, and two different doctors both said it was fine. But every time I look at that mole, I go, I don't know, man, that thing's freaking.
You can ask them to take it off.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do it.
Yeah, just say, hey, suck her off.
Yeah, just burn that baby.
They can shave it. I mean, if it's raised, they shave it off. And
yeah, they give you a little shot to deaden it, and then they
The shot is what hurts the most.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The ones I had on my neck. Oh, good Lord. Mm-hmm. The needles
right
were
here. I mean, this is like sensitive area.
Yeah, right? Nobody wants their chest poked.
She's trying to talk to me. I'm like, shut up.
Well, all right. Good PSA.
So, yeah, I just want to, you know, turning 40, I feel like I'm falling apart.
Well, it is the way of this, right? As we get older, stuff starts falling off. And we totally understand. Well,
and I was, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s when we were stupid.
Yeah.
Got out in the sun a lot, right?
Yeah.
And stupid ass tanning beds.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's a young person listening to me, don't do it. Please stay out of those damn tanning beds.
I don't want to shock Brian with what I'm about to tell you, but I never did a tanning bed. And let's see if Brian knows why. Could it be, Brian, that I...
because sweaty people had just been in there and probably didn't Purell after they were done?
Ding, ding, ding! Brian is correct! He wins!
You're supposed to spray it down yourself.
I know, but I never... I just couldn't do it. Like, I just can't do it.
That's
like,
a great thing.
I don't even like using, like, gym equipment when I just saw someone use it. Like, let alone, sure. You know, VR headsets or any of that crap. I just... no way. Forget it. We're all getting pink eye. All right, let's...
sorry, I know we went on a tangent there, but...
It's all right.
Like, no, it's a good PSA.
Every time I talk to you guys...
It's all right.
Here's if we can take one thing away from what we've learned today, you should get that checked out.
Yes. So you still have a little thing there, right? Like a little, one of those little bandages things?
Yeah, I got a little bandage.
Yeah, right. Those take that kind of... those areas of skin take freaking forever to heal.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
It actually doesn't look that bad. It's just a little red dot now. But it's going to look bad on May 24th.
I told Brian, you need to go into a doctor and finally get that third testicle removed from your back.
No.
The one that's just hanging in the back there, it looks bad on the back.
It's totally fine. And
but it's tender, though.
You've already, haven't you?
Like when you hug Brian hello or at an event or something, you can hear him wince.
And you cup it gently. I think that's actually the preferred method.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, if we're going as far as what I said earlier, then that one's tame.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's get to recommendals, where we recommend streaming stuff that we've seen, and Nicole comes on Wednesdays and does that. We have a theme this week. Nicole, remind folks what we were trying to achieve here today.
Crime and punishment for theme or genre, and the setting spans more than 10 years.
Okay, mm-hmm. I like it. I'm going to play Brian's first because that's...
And we said no Shawshank Redemption.
No, yeah. Shawshank was off the table.
Correct. Right. Correct. So I went ahead and watched Shawshank. Just kidding. here's...
All right. I'm going to say that mine... So I Scott Johnson this a little bit. It's not 10 years, but it's 8 years.
Oh, okay.
And it's 8 long years. So come on now. You can give me those other 2 years. This is a movie that came out in 2014. And you're going to hear Ryan Reynolds talking to Muriel Anis and Enos.
Enos?
Whoa, Enos? Muriel Anis.
Muriel Anis. I don't know. I think it's pronounced Anis.
I hope probably it's not. Anus. I hope it isn't. For her sake, I mean.
And Rosario Dawson.
Okay.
And Don Cheadle.
And Don Cheadle.
No, Don Cheadle.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead and play the clip.
Boy, he was sure good in Boogie Nights, by the way. Don Cheadle.
He was, yeah.
That was great. All right. Here it is. It's Brian's clip.
How long has this been going on, huh? How come no one's told me? Tina? Why tell me, right? Why ask for my help? You guys are doing great on your own. It's only been 8 years. You people can't even do your job. All you can do is turn my wife against me. Tina, do you think that I did this? Is that what you think? That I went in there, I put a bunch of cameras in there, and then what? And what?
Mr. Lane, is there something you're not telling us?
No. No! So now what? Huh? You gonna arrest me? Go ahead, please do it. Please. If you think that I did this, you come here and you arrest me.
All right. I have no idea. What's not his normal comedic jolly self, though, I can tell you that.
It's a
Sorry, that wasn't supposed to play.
Has a great soundtrack, though.
Sorry.
It's a good tension breaker there.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It is a, it's a really good role, really dark role for Ryan Reynolds. And it's Innes, by the way. Thank you, MKO in the chat room says it's Marielle Innes.
Okay.
But you remember her from Big Love, The Killing. She was in The Killing. The other person I didn't mention, you didn't hear him in that clip, but he's a major player in this film and is the creepiest role in a series of creepy roles is Kevin Durand.
Oh, I love him.
As Beanfork.
Beanfork, dude. I freaking love Beanfork.
And he is fantastic. He's in, he was the Blob in the Wolverine movie. He was, he's been in Dark Angel and.
He's been in everything.
You know the guy. You absolutely know the guy.
So good on Lost. Just great.
Oh, right.
I honestly, you're probably going to say it and I'll.
I don't know, because I had never heard of this before either. So,
yeah.
The movie is called The Captive. It came out in 2014.
Oh, there's the poster's him in like the snow or something.
Right. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And the whole thing takes place up in Niagara Falls in the winter, and so it's a huge snowy landscape. It's
the one that he's in the coffin, right?
It is not the one where he's in the coffin.
Okay.
No, but there's it feels like it might as well just go right into that.
Yeah.
No, he plays the dad of a girl who was kidnapped 8 years prior. And this movie does this thing where it jumps around a lot, like kind of Pulp Fiction-esque, but it jumps around over the space of 8 years. So at first, you've really got to kind of pay attention to the keys and the signs of when each thing takes place. But his daughter gets kidnapped while he goes into a diner to get food for them. And the movie takes place over the 8 years.
How old is the daughter?
She is 9 when she's kidnapped.
Okay.
And of course, it's got a very Gone Girl kind of feel because there's all sorts of questions about, all right, did he do it? Is he responsible? Rosario Dawson is a cop that is investigating the crime and I'll tell you that Kevin Durand plays the creepiest pedophile weird creepy creep of all time, and it is a brilliant role for him.
I love him.
It's just disturbing as heck.
Is this on Netflix?
It is on Amazon Prime. Oh, Amazon. So it's free Amazon Prime watch right there. Mm. And really worth seeing. And again, I had no idea this thing existed. It was directed by Adam Ayogan, I think is how it's pronounced, the Egyptian guy who directed that Chloe movie with Julianne Moore and the girl from the girl was also in Big Love. And Les Mis, a blonde actress, lead actress in Mamma Mia, whose name I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Siegfried and Roy.
Yes. Yeah, Siegfried. And a Siegfried.
The White Tigers, yeah.
And a Siegfried and Roy. But no, it's really Amanda. That's it. Amanda Siegfried.
Yeah, Amanda Siegfried. Not Seyfried, but Siegfried.
Siegfried, Amanda Siegfried. Love it.
You know, I was in the area. You were
way closer than I was. Like, I couldn't even get there. So it was,
you were in the neighborhood.
You helped us get there. Yeah. Anyway, The Captive, really, really good. If you do have access to Amazon Prime, it's definitely worth a watch. And it is, it is a movie that will make you hug your children after you watch it, but not like a 7 kind of like, oh my God, I hated this movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
I heard they're going to offer Amazon Prime Videos as standalone.
As monthly, yeah, and you can get it as a monthly thing. So it's a great opportunity to like get it for a month, binge watch Man in the High Castle and Bosch, and then... cancel
and get out if you want to. Or, I mean, the best deal is still the yearly thing. It's by far the better money deal. But the option is nice. I like that they're doing that.
And now that you've got that justwatch.com and you can say, all right, I want to see this movie. And it just tells you all the places where you can see it.
Yeah.
That's you'll find yourself saying, I don't need cable at all. I'm going to cut this cord and I'm going to enjoy all this other stuff.
Just watch.
Justwatch.com is the single coolest damn thing in the history of ever.
Took over... Yeah. Can I stream it?
Can I stream it? Can bite me. They're not good anymore.
Can't stop doing.
This makes them look like poo.
That said, though, I did a search for The Captive and just watching it. Did not say that it's free to watch on Amazon.
Oh, dude. Kevin Durant was on Stargate SG-1. I got to go find those. Freaking love him. All right. Yes. I'm all in the mood for some of that. Okay. I'm going to play mine now. And here's my clip. And you guys decide if you think you know what this is. All right. Here we go.
They all want luncheon. Come on. We're going to have luncheon. What? What? I fed the cat.
Whoa.
That's me, sorry.
I just have to leave the New York City and leave my own life. I don't see any other future.
Okay.
This is like Grey Gardens.
It is exactly Grey Gardens.
What?
Now hold on. Let me tell you my justification for how it fits the theme. It is the crime is this husband of these very well-to-do, very rich sort of upper-class people that are both sister to Jackie Onassis and niece to Jackie Onassis, Jackie Kennedy, mm-hmm. Had this house in the Hamptons, big, beautiful place made by some really important designer. They live out there until he leaves. Total douche move. I'm going to call it criminal. All right. So he leaves. There's your criminal moment. Mm-hmm. He just dumps him there. Mm-hmm. And then for not just 8, like Brian's, not just 10, like the rules, but for 50 years.
Wow.
They stay inside of that house like prisoners of their own making and don't go anywhere. And it piles up with like cats and fleas and there's no running water.
The daughter has alopecia.
Yes.
She gets really stressed out and loses her hair.
Yep, and they're both really out there. Like
they're eccentric,
very eccentric. Like it is the oddest thing. And I was actually trying to track down the movie that has Drew Barrymore and the mom's played by what's her name on American Horror Story?
Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange. I wanted to hunt that down and watch that, but I couldn't find it streaming anywhere. So I went with the documentary. It's currently on Amazon streaming. I found it because of justwatch.com, by the way. Had no idea it was streaming. Been meaning to see this for probably decades. It came out in like 75. And I love a good documentary. And it's famous for being one of the more weird things ever. And I thought, well, I really want to see this thing. So I finally saw it. And it's awesome.
Now, which one of them? Is it the mom or the daughter that has the iPhone that hasn't changed out their ringtone?
That's the ringtone for the unknown caller.
Oh, gosh.
That is amazing.
By the way, Grey Gardens with Drew Barrymore, I believe, is streaming on HBO now.
Oh, crap. I couldn't find it.
I think it was an HBO
thing. Oh, production.
Oh, is it there? I didn't know it was their movie. I need to watch it now.
I also recommend that you watch the first episode of Documentary Now.
I was hoping you'd bring this up.
Which is streaming on Netflix right now with
Fred Armisen and Bill Hader.
Yeah, they do this. They do the whole Grey Gardens thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Yeah. So good.
In fact, that's what reminded me more recently to watch the original so that I could then eventually get to that. Because I know I will. But anyway, it's really good.
This is my stage. This is where I learned how to perform.
It's really good. It's old as dirt, but it's worth seeing. And it's I don't know. I love really interesting documentaries of any kind.
They're hoarders. It's sad to watch. And I would say that was a really crappy thing that happened to them.
Yeah, it was. I'd call it criminal. And also 50 years is a long ass time. So there, I did it.
There you go.
Yep.
House has been restored too.
Yes, the Onassis people paid to have it all fixed up. It sold for $220,000. Both mother and daughter have died since. The mother died in 78, so it wasn't that long after this was filmed, and then the daughter died in 2002 at age 81. So that's the end of that. I did a bunch of research in the back end as well, just because I was curious, but it's fascinating. Very, very weird deal. Anyway, there's mine. Nicole, what do you got for us?
All right, here you go.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you. I think it's 2004 when this movie.
Okay.
Two movies.
All right.
This is 你个汉语好啊，定系广东话好啊？
我 speak Japanese 很好。
我唔系问你日本话，亦都唔系问你蒙古话，我问你识唔识广东话
？A little。
你哋呢度学系武术个奥秘，唔系语言。如果你唔识汉语，就好似狗一样通街嗌，我会喝你，指令你，用棍打你。
Right. Do you know?
Well, I was going to say Crouching said, Tiger, Hidden Butthole, but I don't think that's it.
The fact that you said it was two movies made me think the, is it the Tales of My Father, or something of My Father's and Tales from Iwo Jima? Or
okay, oh, right. That. That's a, Brian, that's not a bad pick if you don't know.
Let's see if I can fast forward a little bit.
All right.
Okay.
Ooh. 傻瓜。真系傻瓜，本道好想睇你点傻法。起身。
I was seeing she would talk more. Okay.
So she's speaking English the whole time, right?
Well, no, she's
头先而家行。
She's going in between Japanese and English.
Okay.
And he's asking her if she speaks Cantonese.
Oh.
A little.
Okay, so.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what it is?
The chat room just helped me out with that one. I think they did. Is that Kill Bill?
That is Kill Bill.
Oh.
Both 1 and 2 are streaming on Netflix.
Oh,
and
right.
Definitely lots and lots of crime. And what you were just hearing was her initial training with the Kung Fu master.
Right.
Master Pei Mei.
Yeah, he's like a cook or whatever. And they go up in the attic right. and fight.
And with his white beard. And he's like, ha ha ha.
Yes. Yeah. like the perfect stereotype karate master.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. I can't believe I didn't catch that in there somehow. The audio just wasn't sinking into my
head. Yeah, it didn't sound like Uma Thurman. It's funny. Yeah. Wow.
Didn't sound like Uma Thurman.
So Kill Bill Volume 1 was released in 2003, and then Volume 2 was released in 2004. Both are streaming on Netflix. It follows Uma Thurman's character. She was put into a coma for 4 years after, I guess it's the gang that she was with put her there. Mm-hmm. After she finds out, she basically runs away from this group that she's, they're assassins. And after she finds out she's pregnant and she's Black Mamba. That's her code name. Mm. And then you have Bill, which is kind of, that's played by David Carradine. He's what he's like the gang leader.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
leader of him.
Yeah. He was also the star of Kung Fu in the 70s. So there's right. a nice connection there.
Yeah.
It was shortly after this that he died in that weird way. Like did that whole
oh right the autoerotic out. Asphyxiation thing.
Yeah, hanging with his wiener yeah. out is how I like to put it.
Good cop, bad cop is what we'd be.
I love it.
Yeah, Kill Bill's great. It's
that's a great up there. Suggestion.
It's up there as my favorite Tarantino bit.
I think do you have a favorite scene in any of the two movies? I think my favorite fight was with Lucy Liu.
Yeah, with the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, wait, that's not
I
her.
Don't know. No, it was the one with Pam. Was it Pam Grier with the cereal box?
Oh, no, no. Kitchen? That was, what's her name? Let me look real quick. Where's she at? Fox. Jessica Fox. No.
Fox, Michael J. Fox.
Vivica
Fox. That's right. I'm getting confused with Jackie Brown. That's right. Yes, yeah. Vivica Fox.
Yeah, there you
go. That was good. And the favorite scene, I think, is her getting out of the coffin. Holy crap. Yeah,
with Michael Madison.
Madison.
Mm-hmm. Madison.
We just adore you, Nicole.
I know. I love it. You should get every name wrong. It's the way it should be. all right. Well, those are.
Pardon me. I'm like, hey.
These are fine recommendations for anyone interested in getting them. What's next week's thing?
Okay, next week. I think I'm just going to throw the cards on the table and mix them up.
That's fun.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, the setting. In an office, a school, or a prison.
Okay.
Shawshank's off the table.
And we can have a scene that has a royal court, a tennis court, or a courtroom.
Wow.
Somewhere.
Okay. So a court. So wait, give me the first. Sorry, the first bit. I got the court part. What was the first bit? School. What was it?
Yeah, an office, a school, or a prison.
Okay.
And a scene involving a royal court, a tennis court, or a courtroom.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. I got some
tennis
ideas.
Court. I like the tennis court angle on this one.
Oh, look at that. You should do one, Brian.
Definitely. That I you know, I love looking for a tennis court courtroom drama.
Yeah, there's nothing
that's
better.
That's what I'm looking for.
Combine those two. Order in the court.
Takes place in a school.
Exactly. Do you know if, has there ever been like a, you know how there's always a movie for almost every kind of like a golf movie that's a comedy with Adam Sandler, the Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Or there's a hockey one, Slapshot, or there's all these like sports movies where, you know, Necessary Roughness for football, baseball had, what was the Charlie...
Major League.
Major yeah, well, that's one. What's, yeah. What's the one I'm thinking of where it's... the Charlie Sheen one. The
Wasn't that Major League with
no,
Charlie Sheen?
I thought Major
Wild
League was
thing?
The... Not that the Major League was the girl one.
No, but, you're thinking of League of Their Own.
Oh, you're right. Major League's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So why has there never been a tennis one?
There was the Woody Allen one was a tennis one.
Yeah, but it wasn't really like a...
Wasn't a comedy, like a parody comedy like those other ones you mentioned. That's
yeah. It seems like the only sport.
Is that true? On HBO, there's something streaming right now with right.
Andy Samberg, yeah.
Samberg and Jon Snow.
Oh,
right.
That guy.
Cat
Stevens. Cat dog.
Harrington.
Cat dog. No? Okay. Cat Harrington. What?
Kit Harrington.
Kit Harrington. He's coming to town, see?
Yeah,
Kit Harrington.
It's like the longest tennis match ever played, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't even heard of that. Maybe I'll check that out. I have HBO now.
Cat Birdseed. Thank you, Thor.
All right. Always fun, always good. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Follow her for more goodness in the world of streaming and elsewise. And go get your skin checked, everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nicole,
bye.
Take it easy. We'll see you later. Bye now. All right. It's Tom Maritime. If he's still there.
Yeah. If he hasn't fallen asleep waiting for us.
If he hasn't left yet. Here's his theme right here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is not a tool. I was going to say the man and the tool. I would never say that.
Your feelings are finally truly revealed, Scott Johnson.
They're all out there for everyone to see. It's Tom Merritt, everybody, host of the Daily Tech News Show, on the line with us.
He's a tech tool.
Tech tool. Tech tool.
Yes.
He's a tech tool pro. That's what he is.
Yeah.
That makes it better.
Tech tool pro sounds like a 90s software.
Tech tool as a service.
Yeah.
That was a 90s piece of software.
Was
tech
it?
Tool pro. Yes.
Tech tool pro was for real?
Yes.
Oh, weird. All right. Anyway, it's Wednesday. That means Tom. That means technology. That means what's on the minds of technologists everywhere. And it means an episode of the Daily Tech News Show today, later at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time, which I am on because I do Wednesdays and I love it. So, Tom, what's going on? What's shrouding us in technology fever?
Shrouding is right. Secrecy, encryption. Mm. That's what we're going to talk about. I don't know if this will be our main topic on DTNS. It'll definitely be in the headlines. But I just, almost as a public service announcement to people, I just want to let folks know, if they haven't heard about this bill that is being put forward by Senators Richard Burr and Dianne Feinstein, it's a bipartisan bill that would reform government surveillance. I'm trying to find the name of the actual bill. I don't know if they've actually named it yet. The short title, the Compliance with Court Orders Act of 2016.
Oh.
Well, that sounds perfectly reasonable, doesn't it?
Sure. Don't they always, when they name them? They always
do.
Mm-hmm.
So in this bill, which is a rather short bill, it says a provider of remote computing service or electronic communication service to the public that distributes licenses for product, services, applications, or software. It's, you know, in other words, somebody who makes encryption software,
sure.
Shall ensure that any such product, service, application, or software be capable of complying with subsection A. Oh, okay. Well, what's subsection A? Subsection A provides that anytime a court issues you to give data over, that you have to give it over. Well, that seems perfectly reasonable, too. If the court told me to give the data and they've got a warrant and reasonable cause and all of that, sure, hand it over. Here's where it gets interesting. The party shall be responsible for providing data in intelligible format if such data has been made unintelligible by a feature, product, or service owned, controlled, or created, or provided by the covered entity. So they wrote this bill nice and confusing, so we can't make a quick quote that explains it. But the upshot is, the bill says, we're not going to tell you how to do this. But we're making it the law that if a court orders you to give over data, you can't say, sorry, the data is encrypted. You have to have created the product so that you can make the data unencrypted. Now, they use intelligible and unintelligible in the bill to further obfuscate things, but it's essentially what they're saying. And today, a open letter to Burr and Feinstein was signed by four industry associations, the Reform Government Surveillance Committee, the Computer Communications Industry Association, the Internet Infrastructure Coalition, and the Entertainment Software Association. Members of those are Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Dropbox, Facebook, bunch of game companies, all saying this is not a good idea.
Yeah, it's not. It makes me mad to even just hear the words. Basically, what you're asking, you're not only asking for compliance moving forward. Let's say that that's all they wanted. All future technologies have to adhere to this. They're not saying that. They're saying, I mean, this would be retrofit too on anything that exists now. So any cloud services now that feature encryption that don't have a backdoor in or another way to get in.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No one said anything in the bill about backdoors, Scott.
Of course not. Yeah, but that's what that is. I mean,
what you're going to hear. They're like, we're not telling you have to put in a backdoor. They've washed their hands. They're like, however you want to do it is fine.
But, yeah. You know, we're not going to call it. That's the thing. Then it's just down to semantics. Call it whatever you want. Right. Call it a freaking front door, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It's a door.
Front door, back door. It could be a window. We don't care.
Or we could even, you know, you could even counter it with, there's no way this passes, right? It can't. Can it?
Hard to say. The bill is in draft. It hasn't even made it out of committee, and it's already got people stomping on it. So, yeah, maybe it's all about who has the bigger, tougher lobbyists. Law enforcement would like this bill because it makes their job easier, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the implications of it, as made clear in this letter from the industry actors, is that this mandate would mean, that I'm reading from their letter now, this mandate would mean that when a company or user has decided to use some encryption technologies, those technologies will have to be built to allow some third party to potentially have access, and that access could be exploited by bad actors. And they go on to point out that this only applies in the United States, so I, as a user, can just go use software made in some other part of the world that doesn't have this problem, and suddenly my communication is entirely encrypted and it doesn't help law enforcement at all. The other thing they point out is that no government has really pushed it this far because they don't think that the companies would stick around, right? Like if I'm a company doing business in, say, Thailand, mm-hmm. and Thailand tried to push this law, I might just withdraw. Companies have withdrawn from China, like Google, for instance, for similar reasons. But if the United States makes it the law, and suddenly it's already built in, every government that wants this is going to jump on board and go, oh, you have to do that here too.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real, I don't know. If the slope could be more slippery, I don't know how it would be. Also, right. Okay, I'm going to rant. I thought we lived in a representative government where our Congress represents the needs of its constituency, which is, i.e., the people. And I don't need my representatives pushing stuff that's got nothing to do with what I want. And I don't feel like this has anything to do with anybody wants, except I don't know who's telling these senators / congress people / whoever's to make this stuff. Who is pushing them to do it?
Without getting into the wider topic of the proper functioning of a democratic republic, I will say that there are people who believe that this is fine. They're like, yeah, that's an acceptable risk. I think that bad actors are probably not going to get the back door. Those tech companies can guard these keys just fine. You can do it well. And I want the law enforcement folks to have this power so they can fight the bad guys.
Mm. Yeah, but who's saying it, though? Like, they haven't asked
us. There are definitely people out there saying that. I mean, we saw that in the iPhone 5C case in San Bernardino, right, where they surveyed people and a lot of them said, yeah, no, I think Apple should build a backdoor for the FBI.
I don't know, man. I know it goes into a much deeper well, but like if somebody, who's the main, Feinstein's where, California?
Yes, she is my senator.
Okay. This is another weird argument, so maybe I don't make it. But there's a lot of stuff going on in California that needs attention. A lot of things that aren't this. And so work on those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, That again goes into like what are the roles of senators versus representatives and all that sort of thing. And I sometimes find that argument to be a little facetious because people can work on more than one thing at once if they think it's important. Obviously, Senator Feinstein thinks this is very important because it's fighting the war on terror.
All right.
So we have a question, Tom, from the chat room from Dice Tomato wants to know about like if what if it's encrypted with a biological form of protection like a fingerprint scanner or.
That's the beauty of this. Mm. It doesn't matter to the bill. Bill says, we don't care if you use a fingerprint scanner. As long as when the court comes to you and says you need to make this data intelligible, you can do it.
You make it intelligible.
You figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
We'll surely talk about this later. I don't know if it'll be the
It will definitely be in the headlines for sure. It may be our main topic. It may not. I don't know. Scott and I will figure that out in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this is an ongoing topic, obviously, and it's not going away.
Yeah, and it's rubbing me wrong right now. So we'll see how it goes later. All right. Well, good. Anything else you'd like to mention before?
Someone asked what the bill number is. I don't think it's been assigned a bill number yet. Because again, it is in draft in committee,
which
it has been officially released in draft. So I'll put that link in the chat room here.
That number is encrypted right now. So you cannot,
I'm sorry. The number is encrypted. Yeah. No, it hasn't been assigned a bill. It's bag 16460 is the draft number.
All right. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, yeah. You got what else is going on? We heard about earlier, we had one of our segment sponsors give you a shout out for Pilot X. That's going well, I guess, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, let me tell you who it was. It was, in fact, we were going to do it as during this segment, but we usually don't sponsor the segment with you or Nicole, but it says...
the author of Witch Hunt.
Yeah.
And he says that you were an inspiration for him to join Inkshares. So when you're picking up his book, make sure you pick up Pilot X as well.
Yep. Oh, he says this quote. He says, he's why Inkshares was introduced to me and gives me the opportunity to get my first book published and to show my firstborn son the possibilities the world will have for him. Tom, look at that, making a big old difference.
Yeah.
Well, and Veronica's the one that introduced me to Inkshares in the first place. So, it all comes around and goes around. But
we have to thank Al Gore then for inventing the internet. So sure. We have to trace it all the way back.
And then Mrs. Gore for giving birth.
Yeah. Al. Yeah, old lady Gore doing her bit.
Old lady Gore. Sounds like a horror film character. Don't go up to the cabin, old lady Gore.
Yeah, watch out for old lady Gore. But it's still ongoing, right? People can still get on the bus and support
it. Yeah, we're almost to the halfway point. I'm going to put another sample chapter up there. Got a few sample chapters up already. If you go to inkshares.com, search Pilot X, you can read those sample chapters and you can pre-order. And if you haven't heard, the idea with Inkshares is that if you get 750 pre-orders, Inkshares publishes the book like a real publisher. They, in fact, are a real publisher, but instead of having editors going through slush piles, they crowdsource that part of the selection and say, look, if you can get 750 people to pre-order it, it'll be worth publishing and marketing and putting into bookstores. So that's the deal. We're almost halfway to the 750 right now. If a story about a time traveler who really just wants to fly around in his time shift, but finds out that maybe the time war that's been going on secretly has to do with his culture, which is supposed to be protecting the timeline, and he might be the only one who could save the universe, darn it. If that sounds interesting, go pre-order Pilot X, please.
It sounds interesting to me, so I can't be alone. Go check it out, everybody. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter, Daily Tech News Show today at 2:30, and every day, Monday through Friday, at that same time, Mountain Time. Tom, we'll see you later today.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now.
Cool.
All right. Brian, I'm eating a lemon head. I'm eating a lemon head over here.
Why are you eating a lemon head?
Because I love them.
We're doing a show right now, Scott.
Got a whole bag of them. They were given to me by... I don't remember who gave me this. Oh, this was given to Nick by his now, I guess she's ex-girlfriend, but they're still friends. They've stayed very close friends, but they're not.
He re-gifted it to you.
I just stole it, so I didn't know whose these were. It says, to Nicholas, love Morgan.
Aw.
I would spend 1 million years dungeon with you. Aw. I don't know what that means. 1 million years dungeon.
You're sure she gave it to him before they broke up, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's all fine. And then it wasn't really a breakup in the traditional sense. They were just like, we're young. Let's not get too, you know, we can't be all in on, you know, we're 50.
I'm not ready to tie myself down to one woman.
That's right. I
got some lemon heads.
I need to play the field, he said. All right. We're going to play one phone call and then we're going to get the hell out of here. This is a phone call about Where is it? Oh, here it is. Somebody yelling at me again. It's fine.
Oh, okay, good.
It's fine with me. Here you go.
Hey, Scott. What's up, man? It's Chad. I hope you're doing well. Catching up as I'm driving home from work on the show that you had on Tuesday. Great show. Loved the conversation you had with Justin at the end. Then I heard the little part where you said that North Carolina was your favorite of the two Carolinas. So I just want to make sure that I called and said, "F you too, buddy."
That is my favorite call we've gotten in months.
Boy, he really just leads into it very gently. And then,
yeah, you're sure I'm going to get complimented, or it's going to be this like nice ending, how much you appreciate something. It's F you too, buddy.
Love it.
That guy's the bomb. So thank you. You're the reason I like South Carolina better now. As of today, South Carolina, the better of the two things.
That's right. It used to be we kind of liked it because Brian Dunaway. We used to, but now it's because of that guy.
Would you hear? Speaking of which, so that was a whole conversation about transgender folk not knowing which bathroom they can use and all these laws and stuff. Two things have happened since then. One, somebody sent me a photo of a previously female person who is now a male who is the buffest, most badass looking kickboxer guy you've ever seen in your life. Like, he would kill you and I just by looking at us.
Cool.
He's so strong and powerful. And it was like, how is this guy, or how are all the white women in the bathroom going to feel when this black guy that's like 250 and cut comes into their bathroom because the birth certificate says he's a female? How are you going to feel then? When that happened. So it was really interesting. And then there was the other thing I heard yesterday. Target, I guess, came out publicly and said, you can use any of our bathrooms in any of our stores. So if you come to Target, do not feel any pressure. If you feel like you're this gender or that gender, use the bathroom you like.
Right. Use whichever bathroom you present as, or whichever one you want. Sure.
Because listen to me, everybody, when I say this stuff affects hardly any of you on the internet that all think you have an opinion on it. So everyone just chill out and quit putting your wood on my lawn. All right? let's get out of here. If you want to leave a voicemail like that, guys, you can. 801-471-0462. You can leave us emails at themorningstream@gmail.com. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us and help us grow and sustain us. You are truly our sustenance. So thank you for that. On Twitter, follow Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. And Coverville is today, yes?
Yes, there will be Coverville today, celebrating the birthdays of Roy Orbison, who would have been, I want to say what it would have been, 90. My browser, actually, my Bluetooth mouse keeps cutting out, so it's hard for me to look things up. But I believe Roy Orbison would have been... 80 today, born in 1936. Mm. And Paul Carrick, who is 65. Paul Carrick, you know from the bands Ace. He did that song How Long. Mike the Mechanics, vocalist for Mike the Mechanics. And, of course, Squeeze, Tempted, is sung by Paul Carrick. Also had an amazing solo career. Combining those two, possibly adding Glenn Campbell, although I might save Glenn Campbell for next week. But at least Roy Orbison and Paul Carrick today on the show. Really, really good stuff. And I might do something that I've never done, where I take the two cover stories and I intertwine them. So you won't necessarily hear all the Roy Orbison songs together and then all of the Paul Carrick songs together. You might hear them all mixed up and all crazy-like.
Weird.
Weird,
you gonna,
right?
You going to touch on any of the Wilbury period?
Of course. Okay. Of course. Yeah.
I'm into that.
There was so much stuff that he did on that Mystery Girl album that was produced by Jeff Lynne and had Tom Petty involved, so it sounds like it might as well be a Traveling Wilbury stuff. But yeah, there will be some Traveling Wilbury stuff in there as well.
All right. Check it out. Coverville.com today, 1 o'clock.
Right. So
Let's get out of here with some music of our own. What do you got for me?
All right. How about a cover going out to Paul? And it's funny that you played that call because there's a little bit of a weird tie-in here. Hello, Scott and Brian, writes Paul, or Major Dumperoo, as he is in the chat room. Mm-hmm. No special occasions, tragic events, or anniversaries here. Just wanted to tell the tadpole how much I love those Misfits. Thanks, and go F yourself, San Diego. Love the show, though, Paul, Major Dumperoo.
All right.
Really says it in there.
Okay.
He wants to hear a cover by or of Andrew WK. I totally dig Andrew WK, man. I think he's so cool. And how about a cover of Andrew WK? This is by the band John Sebastian, I think that even though it sounds like a name, I think it's a band, the band John Sebastian, from their album Covers. Here is their cover of Andrew WK's I Get Wet, and there's a little chip tunage in here as well.
Oh, I like that. All right, here it is. I Get Wet. You guys all do the same. We'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow. Therapy Thursday and the usual therapy, or the Monday or the Thursday thing. I can't talk right. Here you go. Here's your song. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
There's an awful smell.
Yeah.